Life isn't easy, which is why Skip Heitzig says it's sad that more people don't take advantage of the readily available help of the Holy Spirit.
Some believers don't know of the help that is available to them. Oh, they've heard of the Holy Spirit. They know, if they read the right version, that he is called the Helper. But it seems like they don't know because it seems like they're content to live their whole lives without acknowledging or relying upon him except in a severe emergency.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study.
Break glass in case of emergency. That's the label most people have on the Holy Spirit. He's set aside and not very useful to them until they're caught in the midst of some extreme situation and they really need help. Or the Holy Spirit is treated like a parachute, a last resort just in case one can't fly the plane themselves. However, God wants to be more than just our emergency outlet. He wants to be our helper on a daily basis. And we'll explore what that looks like today here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. First, we wanted to help the Bible come alive for you by offering your chance to explore the very places where the stories of the Bible took place. And here's how.
Where are you going on vacation this summer? Disneyland? The beach? Well, how would you like to go to Israel? Too expensive, you say? What if I told you that you could take an amazing tour of the Holy Land packed with historical and archaeological insights and some great devotional times in the Bible at the very places where the passages you're studying took place? And you won't even need to leave your home. It's possible with an amazing piece of technology known as the DVD player. This summer, let the Israel Learning from the Land DVD transport you across the world on an amazing adventure. Get your copy for just $20 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. No packing, no itineraries, and no fuss. The Israel Learning from the Land DVD, available only this month for the special price of $20. Call 1-800-922-1888.
Well, we'd sure love to hear from you sometime, so jot the address down. It's info@connectionradio.org. That's our email address, or you can write us anytime at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, truth is, we could all use a helping hand, not just in emergencies, but on a daily basis. And that's one of the key reasons God sent us the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, many of us don't know how to make use of the help he offers. Hopefully that will change by the time we're done with this study. So stay tuned today here in The Connection.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to John chapters 14 through 16, and as you do so, Skip Heitzig gets us started with a good perspective for facing failure.
Thomas Edison had an assistant, and it said that one evening his assistant was frustrated that they had worked so hard and saw nothing of all their efforts. And he complained, saying to Edison, "You know, it's too bad that we work so hard and see no results." And Edison put his arm on the young lad and smiled and said, "Oh, we have lots of results. We've just discovered 700 things that won't work." It's a good attitude. I've discovered a lot of things that won't work, and one of them is to try to live the Christian life alone, without help, by yourself. You were never intended to do that. You were intended to be empowered and to be infused to do so. You know, it's frustrating to not have help when you really need help. Several years ago, when my son was just an infant, we decided to take a drive and look far and wide and see this great state of ours. So we had no idea where we're going. We go down south and we take this turn and that turn and see a bunch of sand and volcanoes. And we end up in this little town called Carrizozo, the thriving metropolitan area of Carrizozo. Well, I had this old Volvo that broke down. It needed a fuel pump. And I went into a place and I said, can you look at this car? And they looked at it and said, you need a new fuel pump. And they said, well, I said, great, can you have one? Could you put one in? They laughed at me. He said, there's not a fuel pump like this for miles. Well, at the same time, my son, who was an infant, was getting sick and throwing up. And so I'm getting concerned, and I think, at least I need a doctor. Do you have a doctor? And they laughed again. There's not a doctor for miles. There's the nurse that comes through once every 2 weeks. So I felt like we really needed help. But there was no help at that point to be found. Some believers don't know of the help that is available to them. Oh, they've heard of the Holy Spirit. They know, if they read the right version, that He is called the Helper. But it seems like they don't know because it seems like they're content to live their whole lives without acknowledging or relying upon Him, except in a severe emergency. Sometime back, actor James Garner was in the hospital, and he explained how he got there. He said, this guy ran up to my car, grabbed me through the window, and began to beat me up. I fell out of the car onto the ground, and the same man kicked me repeatedly. Then he said, but I could tell he was tiring. And if he'd have kept it up for 5 more minutes, I'd have had him. I read that and I laughed too. And I thought, that's like a lot of us. We're content to get beat up by the world, by the enemy, without relying upon the Spirit for help. We discussed in our series on foundations in the last few weeks on the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and what He does in part. We discovered He's a person, not just a power. We discovered that He is deity, not just a dignitary. And we discovered that He's busy. He's active in the world. He's busy convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But tonight, we're going to focus on what the Holy Spirit does for us, God's people, children of God, followers of Jesus Christ, in these passages, John 14 through 16. And we find that the Holy Spirit is active not only in the world out there, but He's very active in the church. Not just one church, not just our church, I mean the church universal of Jesus Christ, all those who truly believe in Christ. All of His church, segments of our church, the Pentecostal church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Baptist church. You know, we may not disagree with every group, but be careful how you speak about other Christians. You're going to have to spend forever with them. You ever think about that? Some of the very people that will be with you in heaven are those who disagree with you about baptism or speaking in tongues, some of these other issues. It's a long time to spend with somebody. I feel tonight, as I have felt last week and the week before, sort of like that mighty warrior from the Native American legend who came out from the mountains and for the first time in his life saw the Pacific Ocean. He was so inspired that he took a clay jar and he waded out into the waters with his clay jar, and he was dousing it underneath the waves. And somebody saw him and asked him what he was doing. And he said, back in the mountains, my people have never seen the great waters. I carry this jar to them that they may see what it's like. And that's how I feel tonight. I feel like we have this subject that is so vast, so awe-inspiring, so powerful. And to explain and describe is like trying to put the Pacific Ocean in a jar. It's tough to do. The subject is infinite. Our minds are finite and the preacher is inadequate. But here we go. Let's look at what he does for us. He is the helper. That's sort of the practical term that Jesus gives to him. The helper's practical activity toward us. Look at chapter 14, a passage we've already looked at. Verse 16, he introduces the subject that evening, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Now, you notice the term there, don't you? The helper. Some of your Bibles don't say that. There's several different translations of that word, because it's one of those cornucopian words. It has a variety of shades of meaning because it's just such an intense word. It's packed with meaning. For instance, the King James Bible, he is called the Comforter, the New King James that I'm reading out of, the Helper. The New Living Translation and the New International Version, he's called the Counselor. The New Revised Standard, the same word is Advocate. The Nestle-Allen Greek New Testament, the Encourager. Eugene Peterson's translation, the Message, he's called the Friend. Another translation, the Intercessor. Why? Why so many translations of one word? Because it's one of those incredible words. Parakletos is the Greek word. It comes from two words that are combined. Para, which means with or alongside of. Kaleo, to call on. And so it means, in a literal sense, to call alongside of somebody else or to stand with somebody else. It was an ancient term used in the law courts of the counsel for the defense, somebody who would plead somebody's case before the court. And so he's called here the helper. Something even more fundamental. Notice Jesus doesn't promise help as much as a person, the helper. Now, I hope you don't think I'm splitting hairs. I think there's a big difference between just help and the helper. Big difference. Example, let's say you're in a big city and you're lost. Would you rather have directions or a guide? Would you rather have somebody say, take a left and take a right, go down 2 miles under the underpass, over the overpass, pass the subway, dodge the bullets on Fifth Avenue, and you'll get there? Or would you have them say, tell you what, I got time. Let me take you there personally as your guide. I'll help you. So it's not just help. We're promised a helper in the person, the divine person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, listen to it in the Amplified Bible. Jesus says, I will give you another helper. And here it says, one called to stand constantly by us, who is ready to take part in everything in which his help is needed. And that's good news. I need all the help I can get. Do you ever feel in life that the trials, the temptations, the responsibilities are just too much? They are, if you do it alone. So this is good news, practical news. I'm sending you a helper. Notice that this person is an exclusive helper. Jesus says the world cannot receive him. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We've received him. The world can't receive him. They don't see him. They're not aware of him. They don't even think about him. Let's think in terms of communication. Right now, in this building, at this very moment, there are radio waves and television waves. So in their raw form, there are all sorts of pictures here right now, all sorts of musical genres right here, right now, in forms of waves. You don't see them. You don't hear them. But if we had the right receiver, we could pick them up and they would be translated into visual or auditory information and we would enjoy them. The world doesn't receive the Spirit, doesn't get help of the Spirit until that worldly person receives Christ and then the Holy Spirit will come to them. Have you ever share the gospel with somebody and you get frustrated, you explain something to them and you think, this is masterful. What I just said was masterful. And they're looking at you like, huh? And you say, can't you get it? Don't you see? No, they don't. It's like trying to explain today's sunset to a blind person. They lack the ability to enjoy it. They don't receive it. Notice something else before we move on. This helper is a live-in helper. Jesus said he will abide with you forever, that he dwells with you. That means you have 24-hour roadside help. He's always with you. He doesn't work 9 to 5 and take weekends off. He abides with you forever. Herein lies the secret to victorious, as we call it, victorious Christian living. It's this ongoing, abiding relationship where we rely upon this helper who is with us all the time. That's what Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. A man was an alcoholic. He was converted. He was successful in sort of warding off the temptation for several months. One day, however, he walked past a bar and the odor of the alcohol made its way to his nose and it was so tempting to him. It is as if it drew him in and he wanted to drink so bad. He then noticed right across the street was a cafe with an interesting sign. All the buttermilk you can drink, it said, for a dollar. He went in and had glass after glass. Now, this presupposes you could do that. I mean, I hate buttermilk, but whatever. He filled himself so full to the brim with buttermilk, so satiated was he, that he couldn't even have a sip of alcohol at that point. There's a secret there, you see. It's like what Dwight L. Moody once said, the evangelist, to his audience. He held up a glass, an empty glass, and he said, there's air in this glass. How do you get it out? And one person said, you pump it out. Moody said, it won't work. You'll create a vacuum, shatter the glass. Any other suggestions? And several made them. And then he took a pitcher of water and filled it. He said, there's the air. It's gone. It's filled with water. He said, the secret in living the Christian life isn't sucking out, vacuuming out one sin at a time, as much as being filled with the Spirit of God, the helper around the clock. Now, let's get more specific. That's generic. That's the helper's practical activity. Let's look at this helper's particular activity. What exactly does he do? And we'll have to move quickly on this, and we're going to look in these chapters as well as three other places in the New Testament. First of all, the Holy Spirit helps us with the truth about God. If you go back to chapter 14, but this time the 26th verse, take it in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Skip ahead to chapter 16 and look at the 13th verse. No, go back in verse 12. It helps to do that. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, this answers a question. The question is, how did 12 fishermen, without any education at all, who didn't even understand a lot of what Jesus said and were distracted half the time, remember enough to write down the four Gospels? And the only answer isn't because they were brilliant guys, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because even during this episode of the upper room, they were confused about the future. They didn't understand God's plan. They don't know why Jesus has to go to the cross. They don't get the whole idea of he's going away. They're filled with sorrow. And they're arguing about who will be the greatest in the kingdom. So they're confused now. But Jesus said, don't worry, the Spirit's coming. He'll bring all things to remembrance. And Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. Look at verse 13, once again, of chapter 16. It says, when he, notice what he's called here, the Spirit of Truth, and he guides you into all truth. That's one of his titles, the Spirit of Truth. That is, he is the source of all truth, and he tells people the truth about their sin, about God's righteousness, and about God's judgment. He tells the truth. He's the Spirit of the truth. But there's an important word left out in your translation and mine. He's called the Spirit of the truth. In Greek, the word "the" is there. In our translation, it's not. It just says the Spirit of truth. The original translation is ta pneuma tes aletheos, or literally, the Spirit of the truth. So it's not generic truth we're talking about. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. Well, that's true. No. It's the body of the truth centering in Jesus Christ. That's the term, tes aletheos, the truth. How can you tell if a person's filled with the Holy Spirit? They are filled with the truth as taught by the Spirit concerning Christ. And it will be balanced truth. When the Spirit of the truth is filling you, it's not that you'll emphasize one truth and forget the rest, or another truth and forget the rest. It's this balance of the truth in beautiful harmony together. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our tutor. And I bet you've experienced something like this. You open your Bible, you've read it 12 times before, maybe 100 times before, but suddenly you read it, and it's like a light goes off. You understand it, you get it, you notice something that wasn't there before, but it was, you just weren't there before. And you go, wow, what just happened? Illumination just happened. Illumination. It's where the Holy Spirit shines the light on something that is already the light. He just makes it brighter and you understand it. Martin Luther said, if God does not open and explain the Holy Writ, the Scriptures, no one can understand it. It will remain a closed book and be enveloped in darkness. Let me encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to not be content with being spoon-fed Christians, where you rely on somebody else telling you what it says. There's a place for that. There's gifts in the body of Christ for that. They're called pastors and teachers. But don't rely totally on that any more than you would rely on a study Bible with its notes for the truth. How about daring to learn how to study the Bible on your own so that you can get it right from the source? Right from the source. I've told you before about that family driving through Florida. Thousands, millions probably, of orange trees on either side of the road. They stop into a restaurant. They order orange juice. The guy says, I'm sorry, we have no orange juice. The machine is broken. What's ironic is there's millions of oranges around them. There's at least 12 oranges on the table. But there's no orange juice because they had depended so heavily on a machine that they can't squeeze it on their own. Hey, don't rely too heavily on the preaching machine, the teaching machine, the books machine, the radio and television machine. Learn to hear the Spirit's voice as He teaches you all truth.
You might say that the Holy Spirit is like a respirator. He's there to help us breathe in the things of God. And without His help, well, there's a good chance that we'll end up suffocating spiritually. When we accept His help, and not just in emergencies, we can breathe deep and truly live. And that's all the time we have for today. But if you've enjoyed today's teaching and would like to hear more from Skip, don't forget that we have over 1,200 of his messages available online. Whether it's a certain teaching on a particular topic or a series you may have missed, you'll find lots to browse through and listen to when you visit our online library. Just visit connectionradio.org/library. Or if you'd like a copy of the study we just went through, you can order that right now just by giving us a call. Our number, 1-800-922-1888. Or you can also order online at connectionradio.org. Each copy on CD is just $6, and anything you share above that suggested donation will help us to bring you these daily times in God's Word. So call today and help support this ministry. Call 1-800-922-1888. or you can write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
It's kind of silly to think we could ever get by without the Holy Spirit's help. And so we'll learn more about that next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.